This is America on the Road, winner of the International Automotive Media Conference Gold Medal Award for Radio, and now in its 24th year on the air. Thanks for being with us as we bring you the latest automotive information from around the world. America on the Road is brought to you by DrivingToday.com and the Coalition for Vehicle Choice. Hi, I'm Jack Nerad. With me is Chris Teague. Chris, thanks so much for being with us. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me along for the ride, Jack.
Chris is based in Maine. I think you are actually seated in a car in Maine as we speak, as we put this down, as we put these tracks down for this podcast. And thanks so much for doing that. You're escaping the home life right now, right?
Quarantined, although that's not so much a thing at the moment, but stuck in a small home with two children and a wife who also has conference calls, things get noisy very quickly.
Right. Well, Chris writes for DrivingToday.com and a number of other websites. He is on the East Coast. I, on the other hand, am on the West Coast within spitting distance. Well, it would be a long spit, and you shouldn't spit these days, I guess, anyway, but of the Pacific Ocean. So we're cross country on America on the Road, as maybe we should be. We're going to have some fun today in the road test segment. We're going to be looking at two very interesting cars. It's kind of luxury day. You know, I should be wearing a jacket and tie, I think, instead of the T-shirt I'm wearing right now as we do this, because I was driving the 2020 Genesis G90, and Chris, you were driving the Mercedes-Benz GLC 300 Coupe, which is a four-door, but they call it a coupe anyway, right?
Yeah, it's got the shape, but too many doors.
Yeah, although one can argue that four doors is a lot better than two. Especially for anybody who has to get in the back seat.
Totally agree, and my kids' heads would agree with that as well.
Yeah. Well, good. They're smart kids. Our special guest today is another smart person. Her name is Gina Caleri. She is with Relay Cars. Relay Cars is a very interesting organization because what they allow you to do is kind of virtually test drive vehicles. RelayCars.com is their website, but they also facilitate this for dealers across the country. So we're going to have an extensive interview with her. I sat down with her not long ago. And so we will be speaking to her. But before we do any of that, I think it's time to talk about what's going on in the car world this week. What is going on, Chris?
Well, certainly not in-person reveals and flashy trips to auto shows. But a couple of things are actually going on. So the news came out a few weeks ago, maybe a little bit longer than that, that Hertz, which is one of the largest rental car companies in the world, was going to declare bankruptcy. And they also own Dollar and Thrifty, maybe among others as well. But one upside of that, at least for the consumer, people who are shopping for cars, is that a lot of those rental cars that Hertz and the other companies have in their fleets are being put up for sale to help, I guess, recoup some of the damages, if you will. So the first news that came out a few weeks ago was really competitively priced C7 Corvette Z06s. A lot of them were automatic transmissions, but if you can deal with a yellow car, they were going for, you know, low 60,000 range, even less than that in some cases.
And I think so, if you're buying a Corvette, you might well deal with a yellow car. It's, you know, worst things have happened.
Yeah, exactly. but now the rest of the fleet is kind of being tapped into for these sales listings, and some of them, I saw a BMW 7 Series earlier selling for 25% below MSRP. And, you know, there are studies that say they might break down a little bit faster than other cars, but I think that some people could stomach that for the price.
Right. Well, it points out what's going on. And a lot of things have changed, of course, because of COVID-19, the coronavirus. And the used car market is certainly one of them. You mentioned one thing, Hertz. You know, and what a tragedy to see that great American company go into bankruptcy. Hopefully they will reorganize and move on. And, you know, my Hertz points will remain useful for something. I'd like that. You know, I'm a Hertz customer from way, way back. And, you know, I'd like to see them stay in business in some form or fashion. The other thing it's doing with used car prices is it's kind of boosting them. I mean, when this hit in mid-March, used car prices, like car sales overall, just went in the ditch. I mean, they fell off the cliff. They, well, pick another metaphor. But it wasn't good. But they have bounced back remarkably well, and some of it has to do with the fact that a lot of people would prefer to avoid public transportation these days. maybe rightly so. And that is a boon to the used car market because that's the obvious way to have personal transportation at some kind of a low cost. It's not to buy a brand new car, but it's to buy a used car. And so we've seen used car prices kind of recover and, you know, get back to near normal.
I totally agree. And there was some concern at the outset that the flooding of the market with used rental vehicles might drive the price down. But just like you said, everything has kind of been the exact opposite of that. So good to see, I guess, for used car dealers and people looking to get a deal.
Right. We have also seen the new car market recover, not to the extent of the used car market, I guess, but recover pretty remarkably. And doing that despite the fact that there's still some substantial portions of the country where you can't really go into a car dealer. Certainly, there are many areas, most states, you can go into a car dealer these days and buy a car the way you used to. But there's still major areas where that's very, very difficult. And, of course, a lot of people are reluctant to go into a place of business these days and deal with other people, you know, perhaps closer than 6 feet away from one another. I think that old dealer handshake thing is just out the window. Don't you think so, Chris?
I agree. And, you know, the experience of buying a car has become so much better and more streamlined online that I think that's become a big step for consumers, too. So, you know, I know people in my own life that would never have considered buying a car online, but have kind of warmed up to it, especially, you know, given the amount of in-person contact you have to buy a car from a dealership.
Right. In fact, our guest today, Gina Colari, will talk a bit about that. Not only the ability to buy a car online, but, you know, essentially get a real good walk around, a real good feel for that car using virtual reality or enhanced reality, which I kind of like the idea of enhanced reality. I need it around the house. you know, reality's fine, but, you know, if it's enhanced, well, that's only better, right? So we're going to talk to her about that. Any other news bits you'd like to put out there before we segue over into road test time?
I think that's it. It's been quite of a quiet week overall.
Right. I think we're going to see more car introductions over the course of the next several weeks. You know, I'm on the North American Car of the Year jury, and we are right now busily figuring out what cars will be eligible for North American Car of the Year, North American Truck of the Year, and North American Utility of the Year. It's going to be a pretty interesting crop, but because we haven't been able to test drive over the course of the last 2.5 months, almost 3 months, it's going to be a different kind of competition than it's been before. So we'll see how that unfolds. But it will unfold, and we feel good about that. When we come back, we'll be road testing the Genesis G90 and the Mercedes-Benz GLC 300 Coupe. So stay with us for that right here on America on the Road on Driving Today. Welcome back, everybody, to America on the Road with Chris Teague. This is Jack Nerad back with you. I almost forgot my name there, but I am Jack Nerad and co-hosting the show with Chris Teague. Cross country, he's in Maine, I'm in California, and we love every state in the union, that's for sure. At least I'm speaking for myself. I assume that Chris is also a lover of every American state.
Absolutely.
Yes. Hooray for us. And to show how much we love America, we were both driving import cars this week. You were driving the Mercedes-Benz GLC 300 Coupe. Tell us about it, would you?
Yes, I was. And so we mentioned this earlier, but it should be said yet again that Coupe is definitely referring to the shape of the vehicle and not the number of doors. It's quite a looker. And before I had driven it, I'd only seen it in photos, and I'd kind of blown it off as just a weird kind of funky shape. But then up close, I drove it last week. It's a stunner. It's got a great profile. The sloping roof is why they call it a coupe, right? So it slopes off heavily in the back. It's got a great hatchback with some good room back there. And at $60,000, I think I'm going to struggle to say this, but I think it could be considered a luxury value, especially with the updated features for 2020. It's got a brand new 2-liter inline 4-cylinder engine that makes 255 horsepower, 273 pound-feet of torque. It's definitely not fast. It's not an AMG type of vehicle, but it is quick. It's lively on its feet. And the AMG package that my test vehicle came with had some really great 20-inch wheels. and special floor mats that really made, really classed the joint up. Inside, it's very, very nice. The kids like the back seat. The sloping roof didn't cut into their headroom too much, especially even with the taller car seats that my younger daughter has. And the ambient lighting makes everything look really neat, like a dance club inside, which they also really love. So purple and sunset blue and things like that that change dynamically with the outdoor lighting. So I would give it a thumbs up. Some quirks that really bugged me came up halfway through the test drive or so. When it started raining, the gear shift is where the windshield wiper stalk is on almost every other vehicle in existence, and could not for the life of me find USB-A ports, which for the rest of the world is the standard USB for almost every device until very recently. So a couple of small gripes aside, I enjoyed my time with it, and I think if my kids had the choice, they would have left it in the driveway going forward.
Yeah, I think as you started off, number one, this car is a real looker. I think Mercedes-Benz styling has really come on over the course of the last, I'd say, 3 to 5 years to eclipse, I think, pretty much anything out there from a luxury brand, at least in my eyes. I just think all the Mercedes-Benz products now really look terrific. And, you know, we kind of make fun of this four-door coupe thing, but there is something to the coupe-like nature of this. And, you know, having those two extra doors is useful while having the great styling that you used to get only with a two-door. It's a pretty good combination, really, I think.
I agree. And, you know, you can get so-called hotter models with AMG badges on the back. But I think for the price point, this is where a lot of people would really rather be.
Yeah, I think these are the best values for certain. And, you know, it always kind of amuses me when I see, how can I say this with some degree of political correctness? Probably not too easily. I see an older woman at the wheel of an AMG Mercedes, and who probably bought it strictly because it was the most expensive version of that model. You know, she wanted the quote-unquote best, and so she has the AMG, and it's just not suited for her, or, you know, probably for her husband or late husband, you know, however that worked. You know, like you say, I think the non-AMG versions are, for most of us, probably the right choice.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine paying the fuel bill for one of those either. But I think that for most people, like you said, this is the best choice.
Right. Well, and it's kind of odd to talk about cost effectiveness with a luxury car that costs $75,000. But that's exactly what I'm going to do when I talk about the Genesis G90. It is the largest of the Genesis sedans. And I think it's a really good looking sedan. Genesis employs Peter Scheier, who late of Audi, as their chief stylist. And, you know, I think he's doing a remarkably good job with them. This is a vehicle that is stuffed with comfort and convenience equipment. 12.3-inch touchscreen infotainment system, for example. There's head-up display, automated emergency braking, which is nice if your kids are in the driveway, for example, and adaptive cruise control, which makes things so much nicer on the highway. It has power rear sunshades. It's rear climate control. 17 speakers. Yes, 17 speakers of Lexicon audio. So it's pretty decadent, really. You know, we enjoyed having it. I went up and got some very expensive cupcakes up in Hollywood, or actually in Beverly Hills, because that's where you get really expensive cupcakes around here. And it seemed just like the right thing to do. My wife liked it as well. Two engine choices are available. The sportier one is, interestingly, not the highest horsepower engine. But it does have a significant amount of torque all through the rev band. It is a twin turbocharged 3.3-liter V6, 365 horsepower. The vehicle we had, however, was the 420 horsepower 5.5-liter V8. You know, think Chevy Camaro kind of engine under the hood. Tons of horsepower, tons of torque, all-wheel drive. Just a nice car to make miles disappear behind you in a lot of ways. And at $75,000, you know, that's not inexpensive, certainly. Way more than I would typically spend for a car or have ever spent for a car. And like you, Chris, I bought houses for less. but it is $20,000 less expensive than a comparable German luxury sedan. So, gotta like that, I would think.
I agree. And, you know, I haven't driven the G90, but the G70 I drove last year, there's very little standing in between the driving experience and the interior quality of Genesis and almost any BMW or Mercedes of comparable size and much higher price.
Right. Absolutely true. And J.D. Power would attest to that as well. So when we come back, we will be taking some listener questions and giving answers to those questions. It's not fair to just take the questions and then not do anything about answering them, so we're going to do both. And we will be doing that right after the break, so stay with us. This is Jack Neerat with Chris Teague, and this is America on the Road. Welcome back, everybody, to America on the Road. Jack Neerat back with you, along with Chris Teague. Thanks so much for being with us. We really do appreciate it. We enjoy taking your questions and providing answers based on our long experience doing what we're doing, which is evaluating vehicles and evaluating stuff that has to do with vehicles so people can make better buying decisions. That's what we're all about here on America on the Road, and we're happy to help. And question came in, and it's about radar detectors. I think somebody might be interested in perhaps evading the law, but what is your take on radar detectors overall? Are they effective, and is there a particularly good one? What's your take on that, Chris?
Yeah, so when I was younger, I can remember being in my uncle's truck, and the radar detector that he had would pop off all sorts of beeps and boops and noises every time we would drive by a bank vault or any sort of home with an alarm. But things have come a long way. I've had a chance to test a couple of them over the past few months. Through my work with Forbes. The one I just got done testing a couple of weeks ago is called the Escort 360C, which is by far the most advanced radar detector I've ever seen. And before I tested it, I had no idea it existed. But even the least expensive ones now are much better than the old school, really annoying buzzers, if you want to call them, that we used to have. If you live in a state where they're not illegal, Virginia, and I'm not sure what other ones may have that law, ban the use of radar detectors. They can be useful in certain circumstances. There have also been some data to show that they might help teen drivers be more aware of their surroundings. I'm not going to comment on the validity or accuracy of that, but I do think there is some data to support that. And, you know, the one that I tested, the Escort, teaches itself about false alarms and can blank out when you pass, like, a road sign. For instance, we have the digital signs here in Maine. So I think they've come a long way, and for even the low-end price, you know, somewhere around $200, they can be very useful in certain circumstances. I'll just put the asterisk there. You're not going to avoid every speeding ticket, nor should you be driving like you could in any case. So
right.
I think that's kind of the caveat there.
Well, certainly what we stress on America on the Road is safety, safety number one. There are times when I have to admit I probably have gone over the speed limit here and there. Through my, 30 years of doing this, and hopefully did that absolutely safely. And there are times when I think a radar detector would just be helpful, a helpful tool to understand what was out there. And I think we can all imagine exactly what they can be used for and what they not should not be used for. So that's our take, I think, on radar detectors. And I think, as you say, I've always thought the products from Escort were very, very stellar products dating back several decades now of using them. So there you go. And they're not paying us to say this. That's for certain. Not true. Well, here's a question I have for you. And it's a question about, is this a time to buy a sedan or not? And certainly that's a subjective question. But when you see the prices, what's happening to the prices of sedans and the discounts available on sedans, the relative few that are still on the market, versus what's going on with crossover utilities, is there a reason, Chris, and again, subjective, is there a reason you think to buy a sedan versus, say, a crossover the way the typical person would do these days? What's your take?
I think there is. First, I'll say that I've long been shouting from the rooftops that not every family needs an SUV. You hear me talk about my kids all the time, two kids, two adults, and a dog. Our largest vehicle is a Subaru Outback, but sedans, my sedan does us just fine. So I think that if you can find the right deal, and again, we said this last week with car buying, if you're in a financial position to buy, the deals on sedans are as hot as anything right now. And for, if the right size, if you buy the right size, you probably won't even miss an SUV or even like a minivan, as long as you don't have several children or tons of gear to haul around. So I think now could be a great time if you're in a position to buy.
Right. I think you are right in the perfect family size for a sedan versus an SUV. I think when you have more than two children, and you know, the NERAD family had three, we still have three, thankfully, but they're almost adults now, so in some ways they don't count as children. But once we got to three, then an SUV became a pretty important change in our vehicle lineup, and has stayed the same for the past 20 years. My wife drives a Chevy Tahoe, and even though the kids are pretty much out of the house now, I think she's going to have difficulty downsizing into a smaller vehicle. I think, you know, if we ever have the means to buy yet another vehicle, it might be the size of a Tahoe. So that just shows you something. I'm not sure what.
Yeah, that extra ground clearance and the high ride, it can be addicting. It's tough when I test large pickup trucks to then get into a hatchback or something after that. But, you know, I don't think that for families of four or fewer, the sedan is a sweet spot.
Absolutely true. Well, when we come back, we will be speaking with Gina Colleri of Relay Cars. She'll be telling us about a new interesting way to look at cars online, look at them virtually, almost test drive them virtually. So we'll be here with Gina Colleri in just a minute or two. Stay with us on America on the Road. I'm Jack Nered, along with Chris Teague. Thanks so much for being with us. We're at Evox Images, but we're talking about Relay, right?
Yeah, Relay Cars.
And so tell us about that. You know, actually start by telling us about Evox Motors, and then we can segue to your newer venture.
Great. So Evox Images has been around for 25 years. We're located in Rancho Dominguez in Southern California. We originated by creating a stock library of images for the automotive industry. We're seen on over 22,000 dealership websites, on several OEM websites, newspapers, research sites, etc. And about 3 or 4 years ago, in 2015, we had decided to create a stereoscopic library using the images that we are already creating. And that would allow us to put
those 3D, basically.
3D, exactly. Yes. Exactly. So to be able to put those 3D assets into an application, which is an app for Relay Cars. So Relay Cars is actually the app solution. Evox Images provides the actual content for that app.
Mm-hmm. So tell us about what it is.
Right.
You know, okay. what the offerings are. Because it's cool stuff, absolutely amazing visuals. Talk about it.
Right. Okay, so Relay Cars offers a virtual reality solution to assist consumers to research vehicles immersively. So it puts you in the driver's seat of thousands of vehicles. We have vehicles going all the way back currently in our app to 2015, but we also have vehicles dating all the way back to model year 2000.
Ancient history in the auto business.
Ancient history, yeah. Exactly. And what's so amazing about it is that, like I had said, it really puts you into this immersed scenario where you can experience these cars. You can look around if you're inside the car, up and down, look at the dash, look at the back, look at the sunroof. When you're on the exterior, you can spin the vehicle around, get close to the details. You can change the vehicle. And we pretty much cover all different segments. We cover all different U.S. brands. So we really do have the largest VR library for automotive.
Well, it strikes me it is the solution everybody is looking for in terms of online buying.
Yes.
I mean, I write a lot about that. And so many people want an Amazon-like experience when they purchase their car. But the thing that maybe stands in the way is the fact that you can't really see the car, you know, or see the car to the extent that somebody who's buying something that's $40,000 or $60,000 wants to see it. And I think what you're doing here, in a lot of ways, enables that. You see the car any way you want to see it. You see in any trim you want to see it in, pretty much in any color that it's available in, and even on the road. Expand on that. What do you think the business possibilities are here?
I think that they're endless, to be quite honest with you. As you know, being a writer for Car Shopping, people are not interested in going to dealerships anymore. You know, that has declined to people actually knowing what vehicle they want to purchase before even stepping on the dealership lot. So how can we help the consumer find the perfect car for them? I think the biggest opportunity for us is the fact that the millennials are now the largest car shoppers out there, and their habits are being all about being tech savvy, and
well, their lives have been tech savvy, right?
Exactly.
I mean, their entire
yes.
lifetime has involved tech.
Yes. There's a recent report from Nielsen stating that 74% of millennials depend on tech for their experiences, and that's exactly what Relay Cars does. It brings the consumer the experience of car shopping, and you know, we're not looking to be the solution to get rid of research sites or take the place of YouTube. What we're trying to do is to expand the consumer experience by bringing Relay Cars as an addition to that research process. So 64%, if I'm not mistaken, and I can supply the actual statistics on that, people are spending most time on third-party sites versus
sure.
a dealer site or an
yeah.
OEM site.
Yeah.
So they might be spending most of their time on, let's say, Edmunds.com reading about the vehicle. They might go to YouTube to watch a video about the vehicle, but they're going to go to Relay Cars to actually sit in the driver's seat and experience the vehicle.
Yeah, if they know to get there.
So if they know to get there, exactly.
So, and how do you do that? How do you publicize, besides things like we're just doing right now,
right.
Letting people know that you're the supplement to those other third-party sites?
Well, I think right now it's about organic growth for us right now. We just, like I said, developed this library of assets and are really now at the point where we can start pushing this. I think the biggest hurdle that we had seen over the last year has been consumer adoption of headsets. With the release of the Oculus Quest last year, that was the biggest movement that the industry saw in terms of adoption. Zuckerberg has promised that there's going to be millions and millions of people that are going to be having headsets in the next couple of years. We're waiting for that. So what we've done is we've also become platform agnostic now. So instead of people having to rely just solely on a headset to view our app, we've now been able to have it on your phone so you can still play around with it. And we've also now created a RelayCars.com website so users can go and check it out if they don't own a headset.
Let's talk a bit about, you know, what your offerings are on the website, because, you know, I have a tendency to jump right to the business applications of this thing, but the stuff is really exciting and not intuitive that it would be there. So talk a bit about your offering right now.
So, you know, we haven't come up with the, there's not so much of an action item right now or an action that is listed on the .com. It's not like once you find the vehicle of choice, you can select and it takes you to the actual dealer currently. That's not to say that that's not something we're working on. We're definitely looking at something that helps the consumer go through the process of getting them to the correct vehicle or correct dealer. Right now, what it offers on .com is simply going in and having the visuals.
Well, and talk about those, because,
okay.
you know, describe those, because they're cool, and like I say, they're not necessarily intuitive that people go, oh, I can see that online. I can, you know.
So when you go online, you can basically go in and check any single make, model, or year of your choosing. You can have something that is extremely high fidelity. It has clear, crisp imagery. You look at the exterior, you can spin it around and see its details. You can change the colors. You can change the different trims if you choose to. You can also jump into the vehicle and you can take it for a spin, either using, if you're looking at the .com on your device, meaning like on an iPad or a tablet or a phone, you can actually use the gyro feature and kind of swivel it around you to view it that way, or use your finger to swipe around and check out the interiors. If you lack that a little bit if you're using a desktop, of course. So we always encourage people to really use their phone or their tablet to view any of our experiences, which seems to be the easiest for people anyway. That's where they seem to be looking at content. Mm-hmm.
Cars in motion, whether they're spinning around or whether you add motion, I mean, they say in movies, right, either the actors have to move or the camera has to move or maybe both, but you don't have static stuff happening. Mm-hmm. Just, something's got to be moving all mm-hmm. the time. Talk a bit about that and why that's important. I think it's important for the whole, a car is a dynamic object. Right? I mean, what's exciting about it is it moves, or one of the exciting things about it is it moves. So talk a bit about motion.
Is there
a question there?
No, I mean, motion is engaging, right? And that's what users want. They want engagement. So to get that engagement, instead of looking at something static online or in an app, you need to really have something in motion, like you were just saying. So how we provide motion is either through, like I said, the exterior or either the interior, where you're able just to swipe and spin around. We also have something in our current Really Cars app where you can go into a Lamborghini experience. And in that experience, you can actually sit and ride in a Lamborghini and hear the theatrics of the vehicle, mm-hmm. the revving of the engine. And so that's also kind of fun for individuals. And that actually was created for CarSaver, who is selling cars for Walmart. Mm-hmm. And so if you were to go to carsaver.com, you would actually see a virtual showroom of that was powered by Relay Cars, which is really exciting for us because now we're starting to put those into Walmart stores as well for people to experience when they're shopping.
It seems like the next logical step, of course, would be a virtual test drive where you actually kind of controlled the car. We're really doing that. That's also probably really difficult, really expensive, but talk a bit about
that. We've kind of like played around that a little bit, putting cameras into vehicles and driving them around. It's not something that we're far off from doing. We are taking this one step at a time and making sure that we're doing everything correctly versus having to retrack our steps and fix things.
Right.
So we're really trying to make this app and this experience very robust. However, there are so many things that we could be doing with this type of content. We're also waiting for the tech to keep up with us as well. So the headsets have to keep up with us, for instance, resolution and clarity has to be where we need it to be to make sure users feel that they're looking at the details of the vehicle correctly.
Right. Are there advancements coming every day on that, or is it kind of lagging what you want it to
No, it's quite rapid. Right now, the VR community is primarily focused on the gaming industry, and now they're actually venturing off quite rapidly in the enterprise industry, like basically B2B. Next will be consumers, and that's where we kind of fit in, is having this content. With the Oculus Quest, they have put in, it's a lower price point, which is already a great step. It's a standalone headset, which means that you don't need to have a phone to power it. You're able to have tracking where you don't have to have things placed around your environment or your room. Now everything is contained in the headset. And you also have these really awesome gesture controls where you're able to now use your hands. And what's great about those is that there's haptics that are involved. So like if you're holding mm-hmm. the gesture control, it actually will vibrate or do something. So there's also opportunity for us to see, like, how does it feel when you put your hands on the steering wheel? Are you going to be able to start seeing your hands in a Relay Cars application, pushing the button to start the vehicle? So I think that there's also additional opportunities there that we can start adding to it.
Right. Talk a bit about CGI, which you do here, and then talk a bit about augmented reality that you're also engaged in, you know, the differences, and you know, explain them to our listeners, and then talk a bit about the advantages of both.
So in 2018, we decided to create a CG model library. One of the things that sets us apart from our competitors and others that are working in the automotive space with CG is the fact that we're not contained to just one make. We are able to expand and cover all of the makes based off of our current processes that we have in-house and also what's available to us. So that really leverages us to now have a full CG library of these vehicles. Not only does that help Evox as a brand, regardless, because it allows us to expand our products, but now it also allows us to create something for an AR experience. And for your listeners, just to clarify, virtual reality can be done in photo or can be done in CG, but it's 100% digital. You're 100% immersed. Nothing is real. It's supposed to make you feel like you're in reality, right, but really, essentially, you're in a digital world. Augmented reality, on the other hand, is something where you take a digital experience or a digital object and you place it into your real world environment, such as Snapchat or Pokemon Go. What's great about Relay Cars AR is that we're now able to take those CG models, which have to be a very specific spec, and we can now place that into a consumer's real world. So if you were to download the Relay Cars AR app, you would be able to choose from currently about 22 vehicles. We are going to be expanding that because we do have those vehicles available. We just have to make sure that we that we're able to be conscious of the weight of the app, but you can go in, you can select a vehicle of your choice, and you can scale it either at 30%, 80%, whatever you're choosing, all the way up to 100% full scale, place it into your driveway, place it into your garage, make sure that it fits. You can also sit into vehicles that you would have never dreamed of sitting in, and you can see your outside real world environment from those windows as well.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Let's talk a bit about your business.
Okay.
You've mostly been B2B, right? I mean, almost nothing consumer-facing from Behring Evox, and now you do have consumer-facing stuff. Talk a bit about that transition and what you expect from it.
It was a very interesting transition, to be quite honest with you. To be perfectly transparent, when we started Relay Cars, it wasn't going to be a B2C brand. It was strictly a B2B brand. And the reason why we thought best for B2B was because we thought, how can this help dealers? You know, if somebody goes onto a dealer lot, they're really looking for full inventory. So if a vehicle in a specific color is not available or a specific trim, consumer gets a little annoyed that they're not actually getting to see the car that they wanted to see and be able to check out those details. With Relay Cars, the enterprise solution, it was more of something where, you know, dealers could actually show them everything that they would have available, but maybe not necessarily on their lot that day. We also have it where dealers could actually talk remotely to a consumer who was sitting on their couch through a VR experience. Dealers are the hardest ones to adopt technology. So, you know, they're usually the last ones to follow. And so we figured what we would like to do is to reach out to those that are helping dealers, which are dealer solution providers like dealer.com, CDK, etc., and see if they'd be on board with it. And there's been a very high interest in this type of technology, which is great news. And also we're working with some other great non-automotive companies as well. A lot that are going to be launching some things in this year with our tech, which is fantastic. I think that when they start getting the industry excited about it, then everybody else will follow. So to answer your question about how do we make this transition as well, is that we decided to like bypass that and to see like how can
we
touch
consumers.
Well,
it sounds like you're really not making that transition. It sounds like, and correct me if I'm wrong, that you have this consumer-facing website. But it's not, you know, that isn't a big part of your business. Really, it's kind of a showcase for you in a lot of ways to interest other businesses in B2B kind of solutions.
Yeah, that's a perfect way of explaining it as well. I mean, I think at the end of the day, Relay Cars has such a great opportunity to partner with somebody big, you know, somebody who's also going to offer more of like a robust selling process for the consumer.
Right.
You see so many different platforms right now that are so interesting, like Carvana and Fair,
right.
Where they're taking the users to these experiences without actually having to step foot on a dealer lot like Tesla.
Right.
So how can we actually, partner and grow with some of these other organizations?
Are you talking to folks like that? Are you,
I mean, yeah, we're definitely talking to certain individuals. Unfortunately, we can't disclose who we're talking to. But yeah, there's a lot of interest out there, which is really fantastic for us. So I think we're really, again, putting us just as a consumer facing company that's just really not our platform. The advantage that we have over our competitors or anybody else in this space is the fact that we have this breadth of coverage of vehicles. Some of the VR technology that's out there that you see with other automotive brands is fantastic, and it's super fun to watch and check out, but it might just be for one all new vehicle that was released. What's nice about us is that anyone, whether they're a Tesla owner or an Acura owner or whomever, can go in and guarantee that they're going to be able to see the car of their choice.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's a reason there are 350 models out there and all the iterations of that, which is headaches for you, but great for the consumer.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, just to reiterate, we have over 13,000 vehicles just currently in our app right now. Relay Cars VR as well as Relay Cars AR are both free to download on any device. They're platform agnostic, so anybody with a Samsung, Android, iPhone can check it out.
Yeah, and tell folks how to get there.
Perfect. So if you go to any store of your device's choice, you just go in there and you look at Relay Cars VR or Relay Cars AR, and they should pop up immediately, and you just download them for free. Or you can go on to relaycars.com to check out our website version.
Perfect. Well, thanks so much for being with us. We really do appreciate it.
Thanks, Jack.
Thanks for hosting me here.
Absolutely.
Yeah, terrific. And that was our interview with Gina Collari of Relay Cars and Evox. Thanks so much to her for being with us and sharing what she has to share about the exciting world of virtual cars. I also want to thank Chris Teague for co-hosting again this week. Chris, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Jack. And I do just want to remind everyone, if you enjoyed listening to us today, you can now find America on the Road anywhere you get your podcasts. That's Stitcher, iTunes, Spotify, and hit the subscribe button and leave us a review. It'll help us bump up the rankings as we go along.
Yeah, and thanks so much for doing that. We really do appreciate it, and we will appreciate it when you join us again next week right here on America on the Road. Again, for Chris Teague, this is Jack Nerad saying thanks for being with us.